Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 276 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. Send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
Yeah, it may be episode 276, but we're going to party like it's episode 199.
Exactly.
We've been doing this for a
while. I have one question. When did Kevin Smith see our dicks?
He was in Europe.
Checking out the cock.
It was a European thing. But hey, we're cut, so we're good.
I don't remember.
Box Office Ace got Pixels, Paper Town, and Southpaw all premiering this week. Got a little bit of trivia, one or two topics to talk about on the news front, and reviews on Trainwreck, Lost Souls, Monsters 2, When the Game Stands Tall, and Beast of the Southern Wild. We have also our trailer addict portion. We're going to talk about Suicide Squad. We got a full trailer for that, finally released. Joy, the new David O. Russell film, and Sisters, the comedy starring Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. So we got a packed show. Stick with us, but let's first get into the Box Office Ace prediction game.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Okay, let's make it happen.
Michael Big Dickie Douglas.
Let's make it happen.
You hear about this thing in Variety?
No.
This thing. Michael Douglas is over there tooting his own horn, saying he's got a donkey dick.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's full on Ziggler.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, right? All right. So I guess he's no Ant-Man.
That just means he needs to take two little blue pills instead of one.
My goodness. He's still got the throat cancer, though, from Well, anyways, let's move on. Let's move on here. Pixels. Let's jump into the kids' film.
Boy.
Pixels. This one's hard to... For me, it's really hard because I don't understand what... If Adam Sandler has any sort of capacity to draw people, especially after the fact that Blended was so universally panned, rightly so. And since then, I feel like his stock is somewhat dried up. And this, even though it wants to be an event film, doesn't really feel like an event picture, does it to you?
I think it does.
You get the...
What's wrong with it?
It just doesn't... All right, put it like this. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, or 1, I should say. The only one, or the third one, depending
Which
on
one?
How you... Fourth one.
The
you
reboot?
Yeah, the reboot, whatever one. A parenthesis 1. That opened up very strongly, much to my surprise, last year. But a lot of people, I should have seen it coming, because people were saying, I want to see that, and that looks good, funny. You know, I'd see that, but nobody is talking about this. I mean, this trailer is playing flat every time I see it, as opposed to something like Mission Impossible. So I'm not seeing a huge opening here.
So you're going to go low.
I'm going low, and you're going very high on this, aren't you?
I think I was going to go 53.
I'm going a little bit under that. I'm going 49 on this.
Well, that's not... What are you talking about?
That's a sub-$50 million opening
going
for something like this.
By $1 million.
Exactly.
Give me a break. what are you trying to pull over there?
Shenanigans. Is it working?
I mean, low, I thought maybe 40.
I was thinking about it, you know, as the week wears on, predictions might change. Thursday is a long day away.
It's about as long away as Michael Douglas's cock.
Big dongy Mikey. So, Paper Towns, this is the follow-up. Not really a follow-up, but it's the next
John Green novel.
Yeah.
After The Fault in Our Stars.
I didn't care for the trailer on this one. I don't see me seeing it, but I guess there is an audience for this because...
Well, it's not about you, buddy.
It's not about me. The world doesn't revolve around me. God, my mom was right. This has a $30 million bar. I think that's a bit high. I do think this performs admirably, though. I'm giving it a $24 million opening.
All right, I'm going to go 32.
Oh, you went a little higher than me on that. Okay.
Well, just for fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, why else would you be doing it for shits and giggles? Serious business here. I haven't had fun in this all year. I'm in fucking sixth place, okay?
Well, I'm sure the studios are listening. They're like, oh, 24, 32, oh boy.
Oh, yeah, I just gave some sort of studio head a sphincter quiver there. All right, so.
I'm sure.
Speaking of, Southpaw.
Southpaw.
Boxing movies historically do not perform great. I mean, Rockies are, you know, exceptions. I'm going to go, I know the bar is at 15. I'm going 18 on this.
I'm going to go 12.
12? That's exceptionally low. I was thinking even like in the mid-20s on this at one point.
I don't know. I mean, The Fighter failed to open.
Yeah, that had legs, though, because of the Oscar nominations. And
it did have legs, but it had a bigger, it also had a bigger star set of the cast.
True.
Yeah, you know, so and it only opened with 15 in its wide release, about the same theater count. So I don't know. I don't know if people are going to come out and see this.
I'm putting it at 18. I think I have a slight bit more confidence in you than you in it. I think the Rachel McAdams being in the trailer, even though it's apparent that she's not going to make it through the whole film, well, it's part of the storyline that they give away in the trailer. I think that's drawing at least some sort of female contingency as interest to this project. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal, I think he's established himself, though, as a draw in his own right. I think people are starting to go see Jake Gyllenhaal movies much the way that they see
a
DiCaprio
what?
Film. Prisoners, End of Watch, Nightcrawler, things that he's really kind of paid his dues
I don't think so. Because to compare that to Leonardo DiCaprio? Oh.
He says no.
Come on.
He says a $12 million opening, and Jake Gyllenhaal should make Prince of Persia 2.
Oh, yeah. I think Ben Kingsley's up for it.
Oh, Ben Kingsley will do anything for a dollar.
Yeah, we know. Many a times I've had to break a fiver just to get Ben Kingsley to do something, you know, because you don't want to spend $5 on it. Right, because then you got five things that you want. He's gonna do.
Like Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley is or was a fantastic actor, but he's also appeared in a Uwe Boll film. So let's not get crazy. Okay,
he's been all well. Right. He's doing now. You know, the funny thing is he's doing the King Tut thing now on TV. So he's been like an Egyptian guy like a couple times, right?
Well, he's almost circled every sort of ethnicity. I think he's done everybody at this point. And every accent known to man.
Oh, he's done them all for a dollar. You can get pretty far. You do a lot of people.
He's also in Selfless, so he's doing Ryan Reynolds right now, or vice versa.
Ooh.
Okay, let's get to a trivia. Here's a little bit of trivia. Okay, do you know this one? Did you see this behind the scenes as I was putting the show together?
I did see this thing. Yeah, I have the thing up.
So do you have a little guess on this? Because I'm going to give it out there.
I actually do. I think this one was easy.
All right, so who's the only SNL cast member to ever be nominated for Best Actor
in a leading role.
It has to be a leading role. Not any supporting, but a leading role.
Well, I think this was a lead. Yeah, it has to be. It has to be Bill Murray.
Who?
Bill Murray, right?
You know, I didn't.
Who else is it?
It's Robert Downey Jr., which is kind of a cheat because he was only a cast member for 1 year.
I didn't even.
Yeah, from 84 to 85, 86.
I thought maybe it wasn't a best actor.
I'm pretty sure
though.
That Bill Murray's only been nominated for in the supporting category, but you might have gotten me on that. I'm sure. I know Eddie Murphy has. I know that Dan Aykroyd has.
Well, I couldn't.
All the supporting.
I mean, you're right. The leading role thing might be the hitch there, but I just thought that was a leading role. What was it? The Sofia Coppola movie? I can't remember.
The Lost in Translation. Lost in Translation. You might be very right. There.
I thought he was the lead in that, but I could be wrong because they both kind of were the lead.
Well, so sometimes in Oscar politics, it's clearly a lead, and they'll put them in a supporting campaign because it's an easier push and vice versa.
You'd have to look that up. That's a good point.
All right. Well, we got a little debate topic there, so we'll get back to you. We'll get our fact checker. Hey, Johnny, get on that, huh? Or I got an intern over here. We'll get him on that.
Well, let's just see.
Yeah.
Let's just look it up.
All right. Well, Trevor's Johnny tonight. we're gonna get up to the internet because you know what the internet does? It solves every fucking argument.
Exactly. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to be editing a Wikipedia page right now.
Because we all know that Wikipedia is not only a trusted source of information, it is undoubtable in its truth at any given time.
Let's see. Lost in Translation. Nominated Best Actor in a Leading Role.
Well, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, so...
So thank you for proving me right.
So there you go. Take that one. But I didn't know about the Robert Downey Jr. one, so we met in the middle there.
Well, I like that. Thank you for meeting me halfway across the sky. That's an over-the-top joke for our one Stallone fan listening, besides myself. Let's move on.
It's just you.
It is just me, isn't it? Let's move on and talk about this minor topic here. And that was that when Mad Max was coming out in the theaters, there was all this kind of hoopla, and it's wake to its premiere, and George Miller was saying certain things. And one of the things he promised was that there was going to be a black and white version of his film available on the Blu-ray. And now plans for that are totally scrapped. Would you have ever had any interest in watching this in a black and white version?
I never understood the point of that.
Neither did I. But he was really adamant that that was like
his... Why?
It's got a nice look to it, so I don't understand why he'd want to do that.
Yeah, the colors are really... The colors make it pop. I'm not sure why you would ever be a story you'd want to tell in black and white.
It's not something that even the previous ones had a touch at all, black and white. So it's not like in keeping it in some sort of parallel universe or... or what, but I thought maybe it was even to get it to look more like a page of a graphic novel, you know, to like go the opposite way of getting the colors to pop and go like the Sin City type situation.
That would have required a lot of work, so maybe that's why they're scrapping it.
Yeah, like, hey, George, this didn't do $200 million. This did $150. We're not cutting the black and white shit. Okay.
Oh, boy.
But I'm sure there will be a director's cut of this at some point. We'll get the DVD Blu-ray combo, and then we'll get like a director's cut with 10 minutes longer.
Very, very cool. Well, I do want to give a shout out to Bubba Wheat over there at Flight Tights. What was it? Fights, Tights, and Movie Nights.com.
Like it.
He also runs ChannelSuperhero.com. So he's our superhero aficionado, and he has let us know. And I actually did know this, but I did not remember it. But the minute I read it, he let us know that Mystery Men was based on The Flaming Carrot, which was a superhero parody comic book.
Ah, okay.
So kind of makes – and it makes sense, right? Because it does feel very comic bookish.
Yeah, I mean that was – it was way too clever in its complete universe style, I should say, to have just a writer come up with that on the fly. So, of course, there's backstory to these characters. I wonder if that – actually, I can look into it, but I wonder if it was the same storyline or if that was ever taken from one of their strip storylines. But yeah, thanks for keeping us in check over there. It's good to have you guys out there fact-checking for us because, believe me, our facts are all
we won't do it.
We're not going to check facts. Come on.
Obviously.
I'm not even calling to research things. Come on now. You think this is college? Hey, how about we take a quick break and we'll come back with a slew of reviews.
Proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Super duper awesome trailer for the Force Viewing podcast. So, Jory, what do you think should be in this?
Lots of girls.
Well, I'm liking, you know, explosions and robots and sci-fi stuff.
No! Boys have cooties, girls, and blood. Lots of blood.
But we should have in there stuff that has nothing to do... Oh, actually, you know what? Dan, what do you think?
Well, I think...
Actually, we're completely out of time.
ForceViewing.com!
Who the hell are you?
I like the idea of a lot of girls.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
What about blood? Girls and blood.
I had a friend when I was a kid.
Who liked girls and blood?
And I'm going to put him on blast here. His name was Mark Fisher. I mean, I'm going to put him out there. I mean, sorry, Mark. I mean, thousands of people just heard your name there. Just don't Facebook stalk him, please. And this kid would come over and he'd always, we had one of those black boxes, you know, the free pay-per-view in the 90s thing. You know, you tap in.
Sure.
Yeah, I see all the Tyson fights and the whole thing. So, and all the Playboy stuff, so coincidentally. And he'd come over and say, can we watch a movie with boobs? And that was like his criteria of any movie to be watched was something with boobs.
That's wonderful.
So you had to like know exactly which movie had tits. So you know what always the go-to was? Total Recall. Because it had three boobs in action.
That's a good one.
I don't know why that commercial reminded me of Mark Fisher, but hey, there you go, Fish. All right, so what did you see this week? What'd you something new, old? What are you catching up with?
I saw Beast of the Southern Wild, which is, you know, a little old at this point, but I finally got around to watching it.
Oscar nominated, very prestigious.
It was on TV.
Yeah, is it worth the hype?
I didn't like it, to be honest with you. It's real meandering and boring, and I don't see the point of it. And quite honestly, I don't get the nomination either.
For her or for the film?
Yeah, either. Any of it. Mm. I just don't get it. You know, I understand it, but I don't get what people saw in it.
It was very well, shot, it looked like, from the trailer. I mean,
not particularly.
No,
and some of it's I'm confused as to why they shot it some of the way they did. It's very grainy at times, and it's just it's hard to follow. Really, the narrative doesn't. It's not that it's not linear. It's just there's gaps, you know. It's meandering at best.
You know, I haven't seen it, so I can't give my opinion on that. But what it reminded me of, and something I think is a very, very good movie that people should see, is Mud, which was kind of a Southern fairy tale in a sense.
That was the McConaughey,
right? Yeah, where the boys stumble upon the character, the guy out living on the island there,
right?
Very, very strange, kind of offbeat, Tom Sawyer-esque, strange.
Idea. The issue isn't really what this is about. You know, it's about a poor family that lives just outside the levee, and they're constantly obviously being flooded, you know, and losing their home and stuff. And they don't really have anything. And so it's kind of about her overcoming, being able to face her tough reality. But the whole idea of the Beast of the Southern Wild, and you read the thing of it, they explain it as kind of this fairy tale esque type thing, and it's not at all. You know, the beasts don't really show up till the end. And by the end, I mean really the end of the movie. So so the movie's just her in her life, you know, and so it's nothing really, sadly.
So a little too slow, a little too meandering for you.
Yeah, there's just no point, you know. I can watch anyone's life, you know. It's not, I don't get, you know, tell me a real story.
You were not impressed at all?
No.
To hell with the Oscar nominations.
I didn't get it.
I don't
understand. But other people did, so I'm not saying don't watch it, but just, you know, for me, eh.
I caught up with this documentary that I liked quite a bit this week called Lost Souls, The Making of the Island of Dr. Moreau. This was about the 1996 film that was eventually directed by John Frankenheimer, starring Marlon Brando, Val Kilmer. And this thing was originally supposed to be directed by Richard Stanley, who some might know. I know Trevor knows him from Hardware, something called Dust Devil as well, both available on Netflix, both very peculiar. It's very... When you watch Richard Stanley movie, Hardware or Dust Devil, it's definitely a Richard Stanley movie. I mean, he has got a vision. It's a very dark, it's almost a Fincher-esque vision before Fincher did sci-fi. Yeah. But he took on this project, and Island of Dr. Moreau, and was quickly fired due to just a whole assortment of problems. And this is one of the better behind-the-scene documentaries. It's available on Netflix right now, much like Heart of Darkness, that really gets behind the problem. They do great retrospect interviews. Of course, Val Kilmer's not part of this because he was such a prick on set. And the stories are just mind-blowing.
Brando. Is Brando in this?
Brando's dead. But
This isn't old footage.
No, this is all brand new stuff.
All brand new. Oh.
Yeah, this is really interesting stuff they have here. And I thought it just fascinating behind the scene of a production run amok. And somebody that really had a passion for a project who ultimately never even had a say in one frame.
So is it just about that fallout, or is it about the whole...
It's the whole making. So it's an hour and 50-minute documentary, but it's the most complete behind-the-scenes documentary that I've seen in quite some time.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, I'm definitely watching that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
You saw Monsters, Dark Continent. This is the sequel, right, to Monsters?
This is the sequel to Monsters. You remember Alien Outpost?
I was just going to say, same type idea, right?
For real, like just the same fucking movie with a higher budget. Real bad. I don't understand this. There's no monsters in it. It's an Iraqi war movie. And the monsters are just not, they're nothing, you know? Much like the first, in the first one, which is a beautiful film. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. It's really good. But the idea of the monsters, you know, what's a monster? You know, we're all just animals in that sense, you know, all misunderstood. And the monsters are just animals, right? They're not, they're just alien animals, just like, you know, you're an alien animal to them. But this movie kind of, I don't know, slaps you in the face a little bit more than the first one. There's like a lot of animal cruelty in it. So they paint people in like this really nasty light.
Sounds like
then they try to come back from that, and it's like
sounds like your boy from District 9. Neil Blomkamp or whatever. You know, it sounds something like that.
Kind of, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's not. It's an Iraqi war movie, is what it is. I mean, in the end, it basically becomes Lone Survivor. It's retarded, to say the least. It's not good. It's just a rehash of nothing to do with monsters. You know.
You said retarded in 2015. We just lost half of our listeners. I want you to know that. Just letting you know.
Well, I can get them back.
I can get them back. Please come back to us. We didn't mean that. We meant Rain Men, people. But the point of the story is this directed by Gareth Edwards, the guy who did the first one?
No, this is directed by Tom Green.
Oh.
And not that Tom Green, just some guy named Tom Green. He's never done anything else, I don't think.
Not the guy with one testicle on MTV? Yeah,
not Drew Barrymore's ex.
Ah, okay. Remember when that guy had a career for a quick second? Following in the steps of Pauly Shore. Yeah. The short-lived steps of Pauly Shore and Harlan Williams and things like that.
I like Harlan Williams.
Yeah, Rocket Man. Remember that? I mean, they gave him a shot, didn't they?
Rocket Man's great.
Great? We're going to say Rocket Man's great?
It is. Oh, it's a kid's movie. Rocket Man's great for a shitty little B-movie kids movie. It's great.
In that era, Rocket Man, I could say, is better than like Mr. Magoo, but I can't really say Rocket Man is great.
Sure, if you had kids, I'd be like, you can watch Rocket Man.
You can watch Rocket Man. It's Harlan Williams.
It's a good one, and I'd watch it. So that to me, that's great. And he farts and it comes down the tube. He's got to stop it. Isn't yeah, that exactly. Who else was it? Was Michael Roker in that?
I don't believe it was Michael Roker. That? I believe it was William Sandler. The bad guy from Die Hard 2, I want to say.
It might be.
You always find like these kind of distinguished actors playing villains in that, so like the guy in Biodome, the bad guy, the guy from Ghostbusters.
It is William Sadler, you're right. That is exactly who that is.
It's sad that I committed that to my memory. See, we are researching these shows.
I just wanted to look up who that was. That is totally who that was. He kind of has a Michael Roker look to him.
Well, it could have been Michael Roker. It was a good call on the Michael Roker because he's in every third movie, especially during that era. So I mean, you had like a 1 in 3 chance.
I'm just waiting for him and Jai Courtney to collide.
Can we stop with the Jai Courtney now? I mean, after Terminator, is everybody done with Jai Courtney? He's invaded two of... He's invaded. It's very aggressive. He's been in two of...
He's in fucking Suicide Squad.
Most beloved franchises, Die Hard and Terminator now.
And now he's in DC Comics.
He's got the best agent in Hollywood. Is fucking Ari Gold his agent? I mean, seriously.
Okay. What did you see? What are you doing? What's going on?
I saw Amy Schumer's new movie, Trainwreck.
Trainwreck. I've only heard good things about it. What are you going to say?
That's okay, because it's funny. But guess what? Nothing new here.
It's a Judd Apatow movie?
It's 125 minutes, and it could easily be 90.
Yeah, it's a Judd Apatow movie is what you're saying.
This movie, it goes on and on. And much like Ted, it has a problem of multiple endings. It has, I think, a lot cut out of it. I think this was actually 150 minutes, and they probably cut 30 minutes because there's a lot of things glossed over in a montage situation that looks like it was a, let's speed this up towards the end. And even though it ends on a nice note, it does just end. Like, let's really just, you know, let's wrap it up now. So after four endings, I know it's hard to contradict myself and say, well, it just ends, but it just felt all over the place. It's got its moments because Amy Schumer's funny and John Cena has a nice bit cameo. LeBron James is good in it. I hate to admit that because he shows signs. You know, he's too damn talented, the fucking guy. It's like Justin Timberlake over here. The guy can act a bit and he can play basketball. So anything else you want to do, asshole?
It's not fair.
You want to sing too? What else? But it's worth seeing. I mean, Bill Hader is a nice change of pace for a leading man, and Amy Schumer is good for the one-liner.
Yeah, who doesn't like Bill Hader?
Yeah, really. He's just very affable. So I like the movie. I'm giving it a recommendation, but really, it's 25 minutes too long easily. But crowd pleaser. I saw it in a packed house, and it seemed to really resonate with the crowd. So didn't surprise me it made this much money. So recommendation there.
Great.
I also saw When the Game Stands Tall. Have you seen this one? About the De La Salle High School football team?
No, but I don't know. I know what you're talking about, but I don't. So go ahead.
Well, this is a tough one to review because Jim Caviezel plays the coach, and this was the one about the high school team. And this high school is walking distance from where I'm recording this at right now. And this premiered in theaters last year, but what I didn't realize was that this was also a faith-based film. And I know that the school itself is a Christian school, it's a religious school, as well as a high football program school.
He was Jesus.
And he plays it like that. He plays this character of a coach so blandly. This whole movie is so bland. It reminded me of The Identical, that Ray Liotta, Elvis, faith-based film that came out last year, which was also very blandly acted, written, shot, lit. And this thing is, it doesn't come alive until the last football scene, but by then it's just a rehash of the better parts of Friday Night Lights done worse. So I can't recommend this movie, even though it has all the best intentions. Caviezel's this strange, benevolent authority figure that kind of just lurks in the background like a CIA villain. I don't know if he's played bad guys too many times or what, but I don't trust this guy, especially around children. So I can't give a recommendation to win the game, stand tall. I mean, all the great intentions a good movie does not make. So sadly, not for me. And this is all right in my area. I mean, this thing was shot right in this block. So it's a... sad, but not good. So streaming pick. Anything you want to recommend on the streaming services? Come across anything that you just want to get out the word?
No.
Not this week?
I haven't even looked at anything, so.
No, he refuses.
To be fair. One of the movies I watched I didn't like, so no.
He's not recommending shit.
I wouldn't recommend him. There's been nothing new really on there. There actually is... I can't remember what that is. Go ahead and do yours. I'll look mine up.
Well, mine was The Lost Souls, the one I talked about. That's streaming on Netflix there. And like I said, if anyone has, obviously, if you're listening to this, you have an interest in film. So I would highly urge you to take a look at this documentary and just see how movie star hubris and just being an asshole can really affect a production. And especially being a director who gets in way over his head. When studios get involved and a star gets involved and your budget is raised astronomically to the point where expectations are unrealistic. So, and plus it's about the making of a 90s movie. And back then, I swear to God, it was Wild West. I mean, I feel like the studios now, maybe because the superhero thing or Marvel.
They have their finger on everything.
They have it just dialed in. And I swear in the 90s, it was a crapshoot.
I haven't seen this yet, but Road Hard just went on Amazon Prime streaming. It's the new Adam Carolla one, which I really did want to see. It's about, he plays a stand-up comic, so big stretch there. But he just got a divorce, and his TV show just got canceled, and he's forced to go back on the road to make money to support his daughter.
Yeah, I wanted to see this too, because I thought The Hammer is one of the funnier movies I've ever seen. I mean, I love The Hammer. It's very heartfelt in a lot of ways. So I'm highly... Is this on Netflix or is that on...
Amazon Prime. It's on streaming. I didn't see it on Netflix yet, so...
All right, so I got a Netflix pick and Trevor's got an Amazon Prime pick. Check it out. A lot of good stuff on the streaming. Let's jump into the Trailer Attic portion of today's show.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
It's going to be a good Trailer Addict this time. We got lots of movies.
Lots of stuff here. Suicide Squad's got to be the one on everyone's tongue, especially because we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. We said we wanted to wait until the official trailer came out. It ended up dropping the next very day. And so I saw this about 6 days ago, and it's not that fresh in my mind, but what I remember about this was obviously the big reveal at the end of The Joker, which is an interesting take on the situation. But I got to say, I felt in this trailer that this was more of a Will Smith movie than an ensemble superhero film.
Really? I thought that he kind of faded into the background a little more than I would have expected him to.
Interesting. I felt the opposite. So do you like the trailer overall?
I do. I think that this looks really good, but, you know, I don't know. David Ayer, I don't particularly like, and it looks like it might meander a little too much for me.
Ayer always runs a little long. He's got the Apatow syndrome in the dramatic range where he goes a bit long. I thought Fury ran long. I thought most of his movies run long, even though I like his stuff more than you, but... this to me just didn't grab me. I thought this looked like more of the same, especially with the Warner Brothers downtrodden kind of nihilistic superhero approach. It fits right into their Christopher Nolan playbook. And I just didn't think it brought...
I haven't seen one in so long.
It just didn't bring that much new to the... I was expecting something different. I don't know, because of what they've been talking about. And this just felt like more of the
same.
They
can't do different, right? I mean, they won't do different. So that's
at least these are the villains. I'll say that, because comic books do have some of the richest villains, and they rarely exploit that. So I do like
that's a great idea, too, to take the villains and kind of force them to be good guys in a way, to tell them a story. And even though they're not going to be good guys, obviously, they're not good guys. But, you know, it's different. At least. But after Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, you're not going to get different. You're just not.
Yeah, you'd be hard-pressed.
It would be silly for them to change now.
Oh, you're so silly.
It would be. You guys, you're changing. Oh, so that's just silly, guys.
You guys are just being all sorts of silly.
No one's going to go see Suicide Squad.
I think plenty of people will.
It's all different.
I think it's going to be a big hit is the problem. And
I think it's going to be, really a big hit. Everyone's going crazy over it now. And it's not going to have the Watchmen effect where fans went crazy for it and then no one else went and saw it. I think people are going to go see this.
Which is why I felt they bumped up the Will Smith presence in that trailer.
Maybe he's almost unrecognizable, though.
Initially, but then he starts talking and doing the narration. And I thought, okay, here's the leader of the bad guys.
Well, he's kind of the everyman. Everyone else is so crazy, and he's the one that's least, right?
Well, everyone else is some sort of like Dick Tracy villain. Yeah, you know, they got like some sort of like mutation going on. And he seems to be just, you know,
he's just the normal guy. Yeah. So it kind of makes sense. He's the everyman that pulls you into the group. If they play it that way, who knows in the actual movie, right? And where does the Joker play into all this? I wondered, because there's a lot of this movie where there's apparently plenty of shots the Joker's not in to make this trailer.
Right? Yeah. So I think this would be almost a cameo or an extended cameo. Let's talk about The Revenant, which is the new Leonardo DiCaprio film by Alexandro. I'm not even trying. Is it Iñárritu? This is the guy who just won for Birdman. Let's just say that it's even close.
Yeah.
The director, best director winner for Birdman.
No
and
idea.
This is really this trailer. I had to read the description on what was going on here, because this trailer gives away very little. A couple
Me
of
too.
Our trailers here give away very little. But the trailer, visually, very impressive. But this guy's style is very theatrical, set for the stage. And some of the shots here I don't think work at all.
Really? I disagree. I think the whole thing looks very cinematic.
I mean, it's just some of it.
It's a beautiful looking movie. What didn't work for you?
Too close on the sweeping pans on the horse and whatnot.
Really? I like that. That really brought me into it.
Nah, I did the opposite for me. Once
you
again
wanted
here.
To be further out.
I don't know why. It was too Birdman-esque. I felt like, okay, here we go. This film might have a lot of
I thought
those
that was
long
so cool. Like the ending scene where he's running and the Indian guy is about to shoot him with the arrow, and he turns and he shoots him with the gun, and he keeps going.
I thought more on the horse there, where he was just way too close on him, and he was pulling back, and he was riding with him. I just didn't care for that. Yeah,
really, I liked it.
But I do think that anything DiCaprio puts his will towards, or his skill with.
Yeah, well, he's always good.
Yeah, it's almost a stamp of approval here. And this director's so hot coming off of Birdman. I'm very intrigued to see what we have here.
It's interesting. I actually looked this guy up, Hugh Glass, the guy this movie's about, before I even knew. I didn't even know this was a movie. I just watched this today. He turned me on to it, and I was looking up. I went down a rabbit hole in the internet, and I was looking at bear maulings, and I happened across this guy. So it's weird I watched this trailer, and by the way, the trailer, like you say, doesn't tell you anything. So I had to read the description. I was like, oh damn, this is the guy I just looked up.
So you were just looking up bear maulings today?
Yeah, I like to look up about crazy animal shit.
I mean, fuck The Revenant. I don't want to know more about this. So, I mean, was this spurned on by the shark attack that the Australian fought off? First of all, did you see that
video? No, yes, but that is crazy, isn't it?
Hey, that guy fucking ground and pounded that shark.
Well, I mean, in desperate situations, right? I mean, fuck it.
Who'd have thought? I mean, if anybody ever was going to kick the shit out of a shark, it's an Australian. They're in the water when they're like babies, you know, they're on surfboards. So, first of all, that guy is never going to have to buy his own drink in Australia ever again. I mean, they're going to be buying him drinks in pubs to come for a long time for surviving that fucking thing. Getting back to the story here, though, Revenant. Trailer intriguing to me. It looks a lot almost like Jeremiah Johnson mixed with the Last of the Mohicans. Michael Mann's Last of the Mohicans.
Personally, yeah, which is... This looks better than Last of the Mohicans.
This looks like a very winter movie, does it not? Like a deep November release.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah.
This will take something to get through. But still.
Joy. What do you think of this Joy trailer, this new David O. Russell film? This teaser is once again, just like the last one, tells almost no story. And I had to look up what it was about. And I'm telling you, this has the possibility of being an unmitigated disaster. If you read the description of what this is about and you watch that trailer, where is that movie in this trailer? What is this trailer besides reaction shots or behavior?
Well, I disagree. I don't think it's not that out there. What are you talking about? Tell me, where did you read the description of this
right
movie?
Underneath the trailer. Shit, she becomes a billionaire heiress, a matriarch of some sort of line. You got
that was exactly trailer? What was in the trailer.
I didn't pick up on any of that.
Yeah, I did see that. I will say that I never thought I'd be a David O. Russell fan, and I am. I really like this trailer, and I really want to see this. I think it looks great.
When did you become a Russell fan?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question because, you know, aside from Three Kings, I was never a huge fan. I did like Silver Linings Playbook, but not as much as you. I think, you know, American Hustle is the one that really did it for me because The Fighter is not very good.
No, it's not. But Silver Linings Playbook is really good.
It's good, yeah.
And every time I count the guy out because I don't like I Heart Huckabee.
Did you see American Hustle yet?
Like that. No, I haven't. So I
see. I love that. I just fell in love with that movie. So, and this looks a lot like that. Feels like he's hit his stride. Like he's found what he's really good at. So.
And he's definitely found his acting troupe, right? He's using the same people.
His muse, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Switch it up there, Davey. But I guess if he can beat them into submission, he can keep them around.
Oh, the other, speaking of streaming movies, the other Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence movie, Serena, is streaming on Netflix.
Which is supposed to be an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, I wanted to check that out because, well, it just disappeared.
Yeah, they kind of buried that one. And it's not often you get two recent Oscar winners in a movie that they just bury. So,
oh, no, and especially if it's coming out on Netflix, you know it's no good because
the trailer I saw
rarely
for that
do that.
Looked like a fake trailer in Tropic Thunder. I mean, it looked bad.
I know. So, yeah. So I do want to check that out as well.
I saw this trailer for Sisters the other night in the screening for Trainwreck. And this is the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie. And it killed. I mean, it absolutely killed. And I think this trailer is funny as shit. And maybe it was just perfect audience demographic.
No, it's not. You know, the trailer is funny. I watched this with my mom was sitting there. And my mom laughed at it. And I didn't expect that at all. So I think this is going to be a huge hit.
Huge hit.
With
I
the
think
female
the same
crowd
thing.
Again, you know. And you know, the cast is perfect. And I like the idea of it at this point, because they're basically, it's basically an 80s party movie, right?
Yeah, it's almost Romeo and Michelle in a way.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Tina Fey here in this trailer isn't playing the meek, shy one. She's playing the extrovert.
Yeah, she's the
you
one
know,
that's crazy. Yeah.
Which you figure it would be Amy Poehler, because she's always kind of, I mean, like a baby mama. It's kind of that way, and just her screen personalities. But
that is true.
I'm liking this pairing. Obviously, the funny thing is, I saw this, like I said, in a packed house, and when they came on screen together, people kind of cheered. It was weird. They clapped. And then, what's her face there? The black chick with freckles who's from Saturday Night Live. Her name is slipping me right now.
Oh,
is it Rachel? I can't think of her name. Goodness, my goodness. 30 Rock, she's on. Funny as hell. And she shows up. She's part of like their troupe. She's a bridesmaid chick. And I just think this trailer is going to. It's John Cena, who was good in Trainwreck, is looking funny in this too. So.
Cena's a comedian now.
Yeah, who'd have knew? Who'd have knew? See, I think this is going to be a big hit too. Let's move on and talk about this American Ultra, because this thing is fucking peculiar.
Really?
Written by Max Landis, Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart. First of all, will somebody hose Kristen Stewart down? Does she not look greasy? Does that hair not look like it stands up on a...
She is. That's her look. What are you going to do?
So
she's just
edgy.
Greasy.
Will somebody fucking wash her? Good God, girl. All right. I'm sorry. Anyways, American Ultra. This is basically stoner comedy version of The Bourne Identity, right?
Yeah. That's what I got from it too. I want to see it. I like the trailer.
I kind of like the trailer too.
So yeah, I'm down for it. It looked fun to me. Looks like a better, I think of like Pineapple Express or something like that when I think of this, and this looks like a better version of that.
I would agree on that. And I like when John Leguizamo shows up in these weird supporting roles like this. I think a very underrated movie he did the same thing in was The Honeymooners. Did you ever see that with Cedric the Entertainer?
I never saw it, no.
That movie is funny as hell, and I don't know why it's so damn funny, because it has no right to be. And Leguizamo plays almost the same type of seedy character that he does in this.
Yes, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg is like a stoner guy, right? And
right.
Kristen Stewart is his girlfriend. But in reality, he's a sleeper agent, and he gets activated, but he doesn't realize that he's activated, so he can do all this crazy shit, and it just snowballs. And people try to kill him, and just like you said, like Bourne Identity, and Topher Grace plays some government agent who tries to track him down.
And the joke,
but
is
it looks funny.
He's
you know?
A stone.
It looks like it has good action as well.
Yeah, actually, especially the blacklight sequence. That's very creative there. Yeah. They kind of made him look monstrous. So, I'll give this a shot. Although the one sheet I saw was not very creative, which is Kristen Stewart smoking a joint on the cover, looking
well,
like
they also have one of Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, okay. Wow, they have a couple of them.
So those are just character posters shit, you know.
No, because that's what the world needs more of.
Yeah, isn't it great when they do that?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, I can have 13 Expendable posters? Thanks.
Yeah. I really just want the Terry Crews one.
That doesn't drive me crazy as a OCD collectible.
Oh, boy. So obviously, clearly, we saved the best for last, right?
Some Kind of Beautiful, the Pierce Brosnan romantic comedy, right? This is
or How to Make Love Like an Englishman, which is a much better original title, but
I like my title, How to Get Away with Fucking Two Hot Chicks. I mean, is this just the conundrum of every Englishman or what? Because is a hell of a situation this guy's got himself into. Basically, Pierce Brosnan's fucking Jessica Alba, gets her knocked up, but still's fucking Salma Hayek, who's her sister.
That's not even, like, that's such a simplistic viewpoint of this movie. This movie is fucking crazy. He's like, he's screwing Jessica Alba, right? And then he meets Salma Hayek, and it turns out to be Jessica Alba's sister. And then Jessica Alba gets pregnant, and then he gets married to her. And then she cheats on him, and so they get a divorce. And he's fucking around again with all these chicks. And then Salma Hayek comes back into his life again. I just, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, there was a lot of that kind of shit where this seemed like
I was just like, oh my god, this is either a 6-hour epic or you know a 2-hour disaster. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I saw shades of the great disasters, like She's Funny That Way. You know that terrible.
Well, that's what I would say is the title, right?
It just all sorts of.
Can't win with this.
Some Kind of Beautiful. This is Some Kind of Fucking Disaster. And poor Pierce Brosnan seems to just not be able to get it together. He keeps trying these comebacks, and he's a very capable actor. Has good comedic timing in the right role, but this looked, like you said, very dumb and almost off-putting.
Well, if marketed correctly,
poor bastard, you have to choose between these two beautiful women. Oh, how terrible!
Well, I think it's more of him fighting himself in a way, right? Overcoming his own problems. But it reminded me a lot of, or what it could have been, would be about a boy.
Yeah, right?
Which the title "How to Make Love Like an Englishman" puts it more back in his. And once you hear that title, you watch this trailer, you think, "Oh, that makes more sense to me than Some Kind of Beautiful."
Well, you know, it's funny you say the comparison to that because I thought this is a Hugh Grant role. I mean, this is literally the Hugh Grant role that Pierce Brosnan's playing here, and I'm glad that Brosnan's doing it, not the effeminate Hugh Grant. Because
what do you mean?
Who wants to see the stammering Hugh Grant? I want to smack the guy in the back of his fucking head. Spit out your sentences, boy.
That has made him millions, so.
Really? Where is Hugh Grant today?
I believe
Hollywood Boulevard?
He'll do anything for 50 cents.
He's trying to figure out how he lost Elizabeth Hurley.
$1?
He's trying to figure out how it all went wrong. You never get over that, let's be honest. Sorry, Hugh Grant. Well, on that sad note, like, we're all going to sit here and pity Hugh Grant. Actually, he was in The Kingsman. Have you seen that yet?
No, I want to.
God, will you watch The Kingsman already?
I can't until it comes out for me.
We're going to have to watch The Kingsman and Joe Dirt, too, by the time we do the next show.
Yeah, well, Joe Dirt's free.
Yeah, I can't even say.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, I just went instant redneck on that. After I got mad at Hugh Grant for stammering.
Yeah, I mean, it's free on Crackle for anyone to watch. So, oh, Kingsman. All right, I'm adding Kingsman to my list right now.
All right, that boy.
Kingsman's on the queue.
But yes, Joe Dirt 2, Beautiful Loser, is available on Crackle.
Crackle.
Not on Crack, but on Crackle.
Well.
And anyone that's a fan of Joe Dirt 1, well, you're a fucking idiot, but you got to see part 2.
Hey, excuse me.
Oh, I know. Well, present company included. But I mean, excluded.
Wait a minute. What's the stammering thing you're doing now? What is this? What are you doing?
Excuse me. I resemble that remark.
You know, that stammer got Sandra Bullock, so I'm just saying.
I would stammer all the way to Sandra Bullock. All right, that's going to do it for episode 276. We're going to leave you guys with a whole back catalog of episodes to make your week good. So go back and listen to any of our old episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, TalkShoe, or wherever else you may be getting this podcast. We want to thank you guys and continue to play along with us at boxofficeace.com. Also, visit moviemavericks.com for the latest reviews and old podcasts as well. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I am Jason Rugard, and we, of course, are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, warp 9. Engage!